Hello, I am Kirk. I'm so glad that you are here with us today. As we begin, let's go to God. Thank you, most kind and wonderful Jesus, the Father and Son, and the Spirit that moves in us. What a blessing you are. God, we ask for your blessing and direction on each one as we listen today, as we hear from you. And God, we do pray that everything that we hear, that we take in, that we remember is from you. And God, we ask that you would bless this service in Christ's name. Amen. The title is My Nature, My Enemy. And my nature would be, you know, who I am, how I act, how I react. That's my nature. That's how you can be identified or how you identify yourself. My enemy. What do I struggle with? That could be the enemy that lives within us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The first thing we want to start with is defining the word conflict. Because conflict is a part of the struggle that we deal with. A conflict is a serious disagreement or argument, typically a protracted one, one that goes on and on and on. Or it's a condition in which a person experiences a clash of opposing wishes or needs. An incompatibility between two or more opinions, principles, or interests. What does it take to have a conflict? Obviously, it takes something. When we think of conflict, we usually maybe picture two people arguing or fighting. Maybe disagreeing, and it can be very messy. It's very easy for us to turn on the news and be able to see conflict virtually any day, any time that we watch it. We know that there can be no conflict unless there are at least two people or things opposing one another. A conflict requires an opposite or a different involvement or opinion. I want to go back to the definition, a condition in which a person experiences a clash of opposing wishes or needs. Maybe inside you felt conflicted on different things. Certainly, I have been very conflicted with the current COVID-19, wear masks, don't wear masks, stay apart, get together. There's a huge conflicting part that goes on in my mind almost daily. As I listen to one side of the equation or the other, I am conflicted because I don't know the answer. Today, the reading we heard, and we will go through it again, we're going to continue in Romans, and today, chapter 7, verse 15 through 25, an epistle from Paul to the Romans, and it is something that applies to us very clearly. Paul is talking about a conflict every believer struggles with. I am going to follow through with the same verses that were read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I'm going to read these very slowly, and I ask that you would listen very closely. And I appreciate Bob and Sue Ann reading. I think we could read this often and still glean a great deal from it. In verse 15, for I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Can anybody relate to that? Have you ever caught yourself doing something that you hate and you didn't do what you wanted to? In verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin that lives in me. In verse 21, so I discover this principle. When I want to do what is good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The conflict Paul is talking about is not between two or more. The conflict is within us as believers in Jesus. And when we have a conflict with someone, we can walk away. We can choose to leave and walk away and not allow that conflict to consume us. But how do we walk away from ourselves, from that inner conflict? How do we deal with that? In the scriptures, when you read something that is repeated, there's probably a good chance that you need to pay attention, that there's a repetition for a reason. And in this particular section, Paul repeats 3 points three times. I tend to think that that's something that we really need to hone in on and pay attention and listen and learn from. Paul acknowledges his own sinfulness. He's very transparent in this. He's very open. Remember, he was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He understood the law. He understood what all of that meant. And then he is, in this case, very open and saying what he's struggling with. He makes it very clear. Paul also confirms this knowledge by his actions. He draws a conclusion from these first two. This passage is part of a longer and more involved discussion about the law. We are reading from 15 to 25, but there's an opportunity for you this week to dive a little deeper into this. Paul is talking about not looking to the law to fight this inner conflict. Jesus came and paid for our sins. The Old Testament law was replaced in Jesus. It died with Jesus. To get the big picture of what Paul is talking about, we really need to read Romans 6 and 7. That's kind of, I won't say an assignment, but I would encourage you to go back and read Romans 6 and 7 as it plays into this discussion today. In Romans 6, we read that the believer has been freed from sin by the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's been kind of a review of the last weeks that we've been talking from Romans, the importance of it. Freed, not subject to or affected by. We are no longer hampered by that. We are free. Free from sin. How great is that? Can you describe what it means to be free from sin? And that's what we live with. That's who we are. That is what we have because of Jesus Christ. Freedom. As we go through this, it's not if the Spirit works in us or when the Spirit works in us, as the Spirit works in us. That's a promise, that's a given, that's something we can hold on to. The Spirit works in us. Our present life is filled by the power of the future kingdom, Jesus Christ. Our present life is filled with Jesus. Our present life is also pulled from the power of the past, the law and sin. Although defeated or beaten, sin still has a grip on us. And there lies the conflict. We have Jesus that promises and is paid for and gives us a future, but we have that past of sin and law. That fact that there is a conflict within us shows the Spirit is working in us. Before we understood the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ. We had the sin and we had law, but there wasn't really this huge conflict. We're just living our life. And in chapter 7, Paul goes his first point, and he makes this point three times. In verse 15 of chapter 7, I do not understand my own actions. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. And verse 21, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. And that is the transparency of Paul. He is very open, very candid. I can't do this. My actions are not what I want. Our life is a struggle. Paul in this is, he's describing his world, but he's describing human nature. He's describing what it is that we have in our life, that what we deal with. A battle of identity, of self-knowledge, the human nature. He poses, I do not understand my own actions. Why did I do that? I know better than that. What was I thinking? I think each one of us can resonate and relate to those statements. I know there has been many times that I look and go, why did I do that? What was I thinking to even make that poor choice? We are conflicted over our want to do what is good and our inability to do it. And that is a conflict that we struggle with constantly. You know, as we start our day in the morning, I don't think we set out to do something wrong. Or what was I thinking? Or why did I do that? In the morning, we start afresh with good high ideals and goals and intentions. And if we look at our day in the evening, too much of the time, we ask, what was I thinking? The fact that we want to do the good that the law points to means the kingdom is breaking in. We want, not we have to. It's a requirement. None of that. It's we want to. That allows the kingdom that is cracking into that conflict. We are becoming like Christ in our thoughts. When we look at and go, I want to do good. I want to make right choices. That's allowing Jesus to come into our mind and guide us. Paul's second point is a conflict of power and ability. Verse 15 again, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. You know, I think as I read these are almost tongue twisters if you try and read this fast. And I think the intent is slow down and really reflect on what is said here. Because I can read this fast and stumble through it, but is that really what I want to do? I want to take in what God is trying and is showing me to work in my heart. In verse 22 and 23, for I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. For I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Our present ability is not up to the task of our future identity. Our future identity is with Christ, being with Jesus. When we don't allow Jesus to lead us and we rely on self, then our ability is always going to fall short. Have you ever had a moment when you realized your actions have changed, when you make a really good choice, the decision was there and you followed through with it, and you didn't have to go, what was I thinking? Or why did I do that? There's a feeling inside that, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping me in this decision. I can see the wonder of what that looks like because Jesus, you led and I listened for a change. I listened to hear and it was a good choice. God is not done with us. Boy, that's a gift in itself. God is far more faithful than we are. You thought of that as you go through on a daily basis every day, knowing that God is far more faithful than we are. He never turns his back on us when we fail, and we do every day. We will make choices that we fail. Do you hold on to those, or do you look to God to let you and work with you to make those choices a better choice in the future? Paul's third point. Now, if I do what I do not want, this is 16 and 17, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells with me. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. Verse 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Freedom in Jesus. Another way of saying it, Jesus is our hero. He is the one that made life for us possible, for us to not have to look at and question our life, to recognize choices when we hear and follow him are much better. The outcome is so much better. We don't have to have that inner conflict that is constantly going on. Conflict is never good. The sin we wrestle with in this present is going away. It will end. It will be left behind. But sin is not the final word. Jesus is. Jesus has rescued us, and he will rescue us this afternoon. He will rescue us this evening. He will rescue us every day next week. And for the rest of our life, over and over and over, he is faithful to us. He is faithful to his love for us, for what he suffered and died for us. That freedom in Jesus is forever. That is present in our life now and in our future as we look forward. Our true identity is in who we are becoming in Jesus. None of us have arrived today. None of us have it all in hand and it's all good. But we have a future because every day that we look to Jesus to lead us is one day closer to that time that we will be with him forever. And as we go through, and we will continue to struggle, we will continue to have conflicts within ourselves. We will try and figure out the best answers. And like Paul, we will look back and go, what was I thinking? But then there's those times when we go, thank you, Jesus. This was a good choice. I appreciate your love for me. And I encourage each one to start your day out with asking Jesus, what do I need to do today? What choices will there be for me today? What can I do to reflect you, Jesus, in my life and not allow that past of the sin and law to guide my choices, but let me follow you. What a blessing, what a gift that is. Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. We can be reached at our website at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. And we do pray that you have a wonderful week.